cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Amen. I want to thank Prophet Shafe and the leadership of this great house, Prophet Shafe and Mama Prophet Shafe. Can we jam our hands together for the woman of God? Come on, do better. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen. And all the pastors and everyone, I count it. And today I saw the person that usually injures me on the field in church today, Mr. Jide. He injures me on the field. We play football almost every week. He injures me on the field. Today I will injure him with the word. Glory be to Jesus. It's such a privilege to be here, to be home. It's always home here. And we will just take you gently since we have the privilege of another weekend. Glory be to God. All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 9. The truth is there is absolutely nothing I will say to you here that will be spectacularly special. Amen. We will just be reminding ourselves of the things that you have already learned. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. We'll start from verse 35. Praise God. We'll start from verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Father, we trust you that there is grace available and that your word will bring light and transformation in Jesus' name. I went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, this is a very interesting story, and the Bible speaks about how Jesus was just manifesting ministry in such a profound way. He was expressing ministry, and the Bible spoke about how he went to all the cities and villages, and he made sure that he was teaching in the synagogues. Amen. Almost all of Jesus' teaching had a location, and the location was majorly the synagogue. Now he taught outside the synagogues, but he taught primarily within the synagogue, because the synagogue is the center and is the house of teaching. Are we together here? Now, he taught in the synagogue, and he healed every sickness and every disease amongst the people. And verse 36 introduced a but. There was a teaching in the synagogue, there were healings in the synagogue, and a but was introduced in 36, which speaks of some type of contradictory situation. And it said, but when he saw the multitudes. Now, there is never a multitude in the synagogue. In the synagogue, there are a people. Outside the synagogue, they become a multitude. Now, in the synagogue, there is teachings, there is a lot of healings going on, you see, but there is a but. And the but is that when you are not in the synagogue, you have become the multitude. And that's a very distressful place to be, because he said he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. So immediately you step out of the synagogue and you join the crowd of the multitude, you begin to experience what is called fainting. That You didn't faint because you are weak. You faint because you are not in the synagogue. That is to say, the synagogue is a natural place for strength. That you are naturally strengthened when you are in the synagogue. How many of you have gone out and you did a lot of stuff during the day, and it was when you got home, you began to appreciate the value of a house. How many of you have had an experience and you got home and you truly, genuinely thank God that you have a house? You know, some days you get home and you just pity those who live under the bridge. The truth is, there is something about a house. There is something about a home. How many of you know that even though you go to a home that is not even your home, there is a carefulness? Even though they tell you, be free, be yourself. No matter how many times they tell you to be yourself, you are not yourself. Are we together here? When you go visit even the most precious uncle, when you get there, there is a carefulness. Sometimes you are hungry. You know, there are some strange hunger that happens at irresponsible times. Like, you can't express that hunger because you know that if you tell the family you have gone to meet that you are hungry, you know you are being irresponsible. Because it might be a time they choose to be cleaning. And there is an hunger that comes with stomach pain. Not that you have ulcer, but there are some strange hunger. The pain will hold you consistently for like 40 minutes. Sometimes you feel like you are sick. And it can be as early as 6 a.m. And then you don't know. If you were in your house, you will boldly go to the fridge and fix it. If you were in your house, you could do anything. But even if you were in the house of your most precious uncle, there is a care, and then you begin to clean the house and pretend that you are responsible, even though intricately within yourself, you know you are not all that responsible. So there is a way your home naturally gives you confidence. You know, when people are chasing you those days when we were troublesome children, when people are chasing you, you want to run and quickly enter your house. It's not like your daddy has a gun, but there's just some safety at home. And so, one of Satan's plans for you is to get you out of the synagogue. Because when you are out of the synagogue, you will faint, even though you naturally have strength, but you didn't know that the strength was because you had a home. Are we together here? And Jesus had compassion on them, and it was because they had become a multitude. Now, no matter your revelation doesn't keep you safe. The synagogue keeps you safe. So you can be a multitude with your revelation if you are not in the synagogue. And I tell you the truth, the greatest attack that the church will have in the last days is to devalue the synagogue before your eyes. And then you just think you can worship God alone at home. Let me make an announcement to you. You cannot worship God alone at home. You can't. And let me say something else. You cannot know God by yourself. It's a whispering of demons. It's demons whispering to you and say, I just want to know God. You can't know God by yourself, because in Ephesians chapter 4, the God you want to know by yourself said that when after he descended, he ascended. And after he ascended and got to heaven, he looked at your situation and he said, I need to give you gifts. And the only gift he could give you are the gifts of men. And there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The person you want to know says, for you to know me, I need to give you gifts. He said, that gift will make you know me. You can't discard the gift and still say you want to know him. Because he has given you a protocol on how to know him. You can't know God on your own terms. You have to know him on his own terms. And so, when you step out of the synagogue, you become a multitude. And then what happens is that you faint. Are we together here? You faint. My version says, he had because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Another version says, they were harassed. Harassed. Listen. Without a local assembly, you will be harassed. The way the faith is arranged, you have been raised primarily, and you have been gifted. The Bible is speaking about how every gift is to profit without. Meaning that your gift is effective when used on others. So there is an interdependence that God arranged the body of Christ with. That you can be a prophet and it will be almost impossible for you to hear God easily for yourself. You see, you can be a very blind prophet. You see, if a prophet thinks that because he's a prophet, he will always hear God for himself, he's deceiving himself. A prophet will need a pastor to tell him what to do. And that's why there is no genuine prophet without a pastor. No pastor. When next you meet a prophet, ask him, who is your pastor? You cannot, the gift is for others. It's not for you. Are we together here? Now, have you met somebody who is so brilliant? Who is so savvy, maybe technologically savvy, and extremely brilliant? Like he works with Google, he works with everybody, like he's smart, but doesn't know how to get a wife or woo a lady. Have you met people like that? Like, what I mean is, now, the woo a lady is just an example. Like, that's not the most important problem in the world. But I'm just saying, have you met people who are so brilliant in a thing, and at the same time are so stupid in a simple thing? You know the person I'm talking about? I'm actually talking about you. All of us here. You see, our brilliance is never overall. We never have A1 parallel. Praise God. We never have A1 parallel. You know, there are some people in school who are olodo aside from one particular. Have you met people who know math but don't know any other thing? I had a guy in secondary school there who knew account. He can't speak English. I'm not sure if he can write his name, but when it comes to trading profit and loss, the guy is just brilliant. And the truth is, we are all like that. And that's the reason for the local assembly. The local assembly will help your foolishness not to show. And that's the reason why God has brought us together, so that you will not be as, your foolishness will not be as obvious as it should be. Glory be to Jesus. Are you angry already? Tell somebody it's too early to be angry. It's too early. There's more annoying stuff. Listen, and when he was talking about them being scattered and them being harassed, the only perfect description Jesus used, he said they are like a sheep without a shepherd. When you are without a shepherd, he says that you have become a multitude. You as a person, you are a multitude. Your life becomes scattered. Listen, I've checked it. Whenever you see people living dysfunctional lives, there was a point in their lives where they disconnected from a shepherd they shouldn't have. Every time. And these are the things we need to talk about. Glory be to God. Now let me show you another scripture in Psalm chapter 68. Open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 68. I'll make some statements, then we'll read that scripture. The local assembly is the move of God. Can you tell someone, the local assembly is the move of God? A lot of us believe that the move of God is on the crusade ground. A lot of us believe that the move of God is the next apostle doing wonders. No. The local assembly is actually the move of God. When a local assembly is functioning rightly, when there is a local assembly set up, a revival is happening. Listen, coming to church early in the morning, serving a local assembly, being connected to a spiritual leader is actually a revival. Do you know that out of all the revivals that history records, one of the revivals that they never record is the revival of a local assembly. And guess what? All those revivals had beginning dates and the date it ended. But guess what? The local assembly has never stopped. Is the longest standing revival. From Acts chapter 2 Till 2022, local assemblies are still standing. Non-stop. No persecution has stopped the local assembly. Non-stop. This is the strongest revival ever. Now, a lot of people leave the local assembly and be part of a revival that has an ending date. This is the greatest move of God you would ever experience. It's not on a crusade ground. It's a local assembly. The next time you wake up and about to go to church, listen, it takes a revival in your soul to wake up 5:30 on Sunday morning in Lagos and prepare to go to church. It's because there is life in your spirit. It's not normal. You see, to attend a 3 days crusade, a 3 days conference is easy. But to wake up every weekend in Lagos with all the stress from Monday to Friday, but you are energized by the Spirit of God to come to church, is because there is a revival going on in your spirit, man. And the enemy is willing to stop that. But this morning we shout a big no. Come on, say no.
No.
This is a revival.
Hallelujah.
This is a revival. Coming to church and you are not sure if you are going to enjoy the sermon or not, and yet you sit down regardless of how you feel, that's a revival. Because you are no longer moved by your emotion. A local assembly doesn't, you are not moved by your emotion. You see, coming to church and having somebody younger than you telling you you are under suspension. Go and sit down. You will not minister for the next 3 months. And you are able to sit down. You are older than the person, richer than the person, more brilliant than the person. And the person speaks to you and your soul has the gentility to subject itself to that kind of atmosphere. It's actually a revival. It's not normal. It's a revival. And so right now you are going through a revival. Praise God. So the local assembly is the move of God. Do you know 90% of all of the New Testament, what we call our Bible, was written to local assemblies? Without local assemblies, we won't have Bibles. The book of Corinthians was written to the church in Corinthians. The book of Ephesians was written to the church in Ephesians. The book of Thessalonians was written to the church in Thessalonica. Almost all the churches, all the books were written to churches and were written in the context of pastor to son, father to son, all the New Testament. And so, if you read the Bible and disconnect yourself from the context, then you are deceiving yourself. The context is church written to churches. If you come out of that context as a church, can you still say you are reading the book? Because that is the context by which the book was given. Are we together here? So, all of the Bible was written to local assemblies, fathers to sons. Do you even know the last book, which is the book of Revelation, was written in the context of a local assembly? It was written to the churches, and guess what? It was written to the pastors of those churches. All. The book of, you expect the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you go check the book of Revelation, says it's going to be all your last days eschatology. God revealed it to John, and John was to talk to the pastors. Those were the seven churches. The angels of the seven churches. And the word angel means pastor. Are we together here? And that's why one of the most despised ministry is the ministry of the pastor. And Satan likes it that way, because he knows that if we don't get that part right, we're not going to get anything right. Quickly, let's rush to Psalm chapter 68 and let's start from verse 5. Now, God is the father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows. Is God in his holy temple, in his holy habitation? Can we read that together? Verse 5 together. Go back to 5. 1, 2, 3, go. Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read from the screen. Let's read from the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to give me this version that talks about how he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. I think there's a version that says that. I think the new, a lot of the versions says that. Look for it, please. So the Bible says that God is the father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, and he's the God who is in his holy habitation. So this description of God is that when you go check out God, this particular psalm says that God fathers the fatherless and God watches over the widows. Are we together here? Now the next verse now says that he now sets the solitary in families. Now the word solitary talks about being alone, right? It talks about being alone, being without the necessary help, being without help. Now, the previous verse talks about fatherless and widows. Now, which condition can describe being solitary more than being fatherless and being a widow? So you can see that the next verse was a further discussion of the previous verse, who talks about a God who fathers the fatherless and who is a judge for the widows, which is a very beautiful description of being in a state of being solitary. Now, so when you look at God in his holy habitation, he's described as one who watches and fathers the fatherless and cares for the widows. And the way he does for these people who are in solitary conditions is that he now sets the solitary in what? In families. That is to say that when God sees the fatherless, when God sees the widow, and when God sees anybody who is in solitary, and the way God will father that person and the way God will watch over that person is that the solution of how to father the fatherless is to get that person into a family. So the plan of God for the solitary is to put him in a family. And so when the solitary doesn't get himself into a family, God is unable to father him. So the fathering of the solitary is not done just between God and you. God has set a system on how to father you. And the system is to get you into a family. So in the family, you are experiencing the fathering of God. So the family is how God communicates fathering. So God is not going to father you at home. He's going to father you in the context of a family. Are we together here? And you all know that this is true. That even though you have a father in your biological house, the father is not always at home. He goes home. But there's a structure in the home that even though daddy is not at home, fathering goes on. Am I preaching here? Because sometimes it will be your elder brother providing the fathering. Other time it can be an uncle providing the fathering. Right now I'm not with my kids, but there is a structure that I've set up that my influence is still at work in their life. You see, even though I'm not directly connected to them. If my children will always need me directly for fathering, one of them will die. They die or I die. Because the frustration will be too much for me, and then the frustration must get an outlet. I love my children. I tell them theoretically that I always want to be with them. But practically, I don't. Like now. And other kind of nouns. Some nights you don't want them. Some nights you literally ship them, not even out of your room. You ship them out of the house. Because that particular night is not good for children. And sometimes those nights, them. Okay. And so there is a context by which God is going to father you. There's a context. And the context is the local assembly. Listen, the greatest attack you are going to have is not from your village. It's not to be part of a church. That's the greatest spiritual attack over your life. I tell you the truth. And that's why we need to be taught this, because your logic doesn't tell you so. You know, a lot of us are more brilliant as per economics biology, but we don't know the ways of God. And sometimes we assume that when you are brilliant naturally, you are brilliant spiritually. No. And many times we try to bring that brilliance into our work with God. The context by which God is going to father you is the context of a local assembly. And the Bible says he sets the solitary. Now, you see, a local assembly is not where you attend. It's where you are set. It's like some kind of puzzle. It's like some kind of jigsaw. You have to fix in. You see, we don't come to church and say amen. It's Abalis. It's the culture of Abalis. You know, Shadura and Shami. It's the culture of Abalis. You know, in Yoruba culture, we're used to... You know, the Yoruba man has no love for his Abalist. The interaction between Abalis seeker and Abalis is not love. It's solution. And sometimes we have brought that mindset into a local assembly. And so we turn the church to a solution center. It's not a solution center. The church is not a place where prayers are answered. Are prayers answered? Yes. But that's not... Now imagine if your house is solution center. You just go home for solution. You know, sometimes in your house, you're actually even the problem. Oh, yeah. Some of us are the problem of the family. Every family has one or two persons. And the only reason why the problem has not scattered the whole community is because you see our family. There's a way they seek over it. There's always one boy that will always go and bail at the police station. I remember when I was writing my own WAEC. They were writing English. I was in the station. I was in the station. WAEC, English. My parents thought I was writing WAEC. I was in police station. Because the police had arrested us where we were cooking our expo. Yeah, we were photocopying all our expo like this. And then they just busted the place with guns and lined us on the streets, on the main road, and took us to the police station. And we were already writing exam, and we're in the station. And we're there for a while. And we paid our way out and collected our expo and ran into the hall. It's just that in the exam, the options were A to D, but our expo had A to E. So we knew that expo can never be from God. And there was a DJ close to my school there who was playing at that time. By the time I saw it, Two Face song was the one going on that time. And I can't forget. I don't take for this game. No be today. No go let. I just started singing the redemption hall. I was just screaming, baby, it's right here. And it was at that period I got saved. After that exam, I got saved. And I read that if a man be in Christ, all things are passed away, all things will become new. Right? I thought my result would become new. So I was confessing that scripture that this exam, I wrote it as old. But now I'm born again before the results came out. Let the result come out new. Lo and behold, it was an old result. My result was like tonic surfers. D and Fs and all of that. It says the solitary is in families. God's plan for you is a local assembly. And what you begin to notice is that you begin to prosper. I said you begin to prosper. Friends, not only spiritually, I owe the church my prosperity in every area of my life. Listen, without the church, I wouldn't even have married. Me. It was the church that gave me wife. You see, because on a normal day, the girl I married would not have married me. Yeah. Because socially speaking, her class was so high. But you know, the blood of Jesus makes us the same level. There are some people you will be able to toast to without a born again level. I'm just thinking we should have some prayer. prayer time. I just think, let's just set like 3 days and just pray. Normally speaking, the girl will not give you eyes. But the blood is a leveler. If you like, be a king, be anything. Yes, by the blood, we have become brothers and sisters. Yes, no more Jew, no more Gentile. Yes, no more slave, no more free man. Yes, one in Christ. Broken down the middle wall of partition. So even the wife I got, because all those kind of women I got, the woman I got, they are costly. You need some kind of preaching to be able to get them. Say, so, you know, life is not about things. Life is about Christ. Set your mind on things above. It pays us. Because if we decide to set the mind on things that are on the earth, we can't afford it. So let's... Yeah. Yeah. I owe everything I have. So I'm biased to the church. I am biased. If you see any of our leaders, if they attack them, whether the thing they did is correct or wrong, you don't understand. You don't need to explain. You are a man of God. I support you. You're a man of God. I'm biased. I'm not logical. You know why? Because all of us are biased at home. But when it gets to church, we start to be logical. You are biased. You know your brother killed somebody, but you are still getting lawyer to make sure it does not go to jail for your brother, because it's family. Oh my God, the church is a more potent family than even a brother. Because you see, your brother will stop being family when Jesus comes. But this family continues. This blood is thicker than natural blood. I look at somebody and say, I'm biased towards you. Tell somebody, I am biased. I am on your side. I'm not thinking that much. I'm on your side. You don't have to explain. I'm on your side.
Yes, sir.
Brother, when we get to a corner, I will rebuke you. But outside, it's our problem. Because that's how it is at home. We must bring that back to the house of God. Oh my goodness. Can we give God a praise for the blood of Jesus? He says he leads us out of prison and makes us prosperous. You enter prosperity. When you set yourself in the local assembly, you will prosper. Listen. Kota and sorry, this church we are talking about, Gbemu and Beg, Gbemu, owo. Aligning properly, issue one Beg. Issue one Beg. We will get there next week. I will tell you, it's more potent than MMM.
Yes, sir.
It's because you don't know how to align. If you align, God will solve all your problems in the context of the family. How many of you paid for your common entrance? Did you pay for your common entrance? Your family paid.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes mommy did not have, firstborn have.
Yes, sir.
It is more potent in the house of God.
Yes,
Baba, if we get this thing right, we are going to be doing contracts without too much paperwork.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we have some business, we have some companies in church that 90% of the staff are church members.
Yeah.
And they do as if they don't know themselves. If there's any job opportunity, now my guy first. These are the things these Islamists know more than us.
Yes,
we will even hear Christians saying, I will never do business with a Christian. You are a fool. Say, I will never do business with a Christian. You don't understand what this thing is. The Bible says, even when we chop our eyes, sorry, this is who I am. The Bible says, we must not take ourselves to court. He says, are there not elders amongst yourself? It means that our pastor can solve $1 billion crisis. And we bring it to pastor, and pastor, this is how we will solve it. This is how you will pay back. And justice will be done. See, the reason why your parents stayed in the marriage was because there's one uncle in the village that came one early morning.
And the uncle and his wife, old people, they came. And they called your father and your mother. They heard the story. After a while, they said, "Ah, te fegban kato shelemo. Oh, ya kuleko beokwe. Kuleko beokwe. Oh, yeah, you want to be aware? Yeah, the money. Oh, yeah, lo sonje wa." And the problem was solved. If natural homes, natural families can do that, how much more the church? The pastor has the right to come to your house and find out what is happening and bring immediate solution and stop all this wokeism that will take you to hell. The pastor has the right to come in and say, this, all right, you do this, you do that. The Bible says the rebellion leave. Anytime you don't deliver yourself from stubbornness, you are going to experience dryness. The rebellious leave in a scorched land. Listen, to flow appropriately in a church, in a local assembly, you have to deal with stubbornness. This thing that nobody talks to, I only listen to myself, is Satan. Listen, I tell my women, never marry a man who only listens to God. Who only hears God. He's a demon. He's the major character of demon. Because you can never cast out a demon in explanation. You cannot say, "Demon, please leave." You cannot say, "Demon, pastor has come, please leave." Demons only listen to in the name of Jesus. If you want to cast out a demon, you say, "Jesus' name, get out," demon will go. So any man that only listens to Jesus is a demon. Real men listen to other men. So when a man is using spirituality to say, "I only listen to God when God tells me something," is a lie. If you cannot listen to men that you can see, how can you listen to God that you cannot see? Listen, our identity is sheep. And there is something close to mumui with sheep. Christianity will make you like mumu. There is mumuism in Christianity. You look like mumu, but that's where the power is in. Listen, it is childishness to be stubborn. It's not maturity. Jesus told Peter, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go. He said, but now that you are old, another will take you to places that you don't want to go. Until you can be led against your wish, you are not a sheep. Sheeps are led against their wishes. Your unit head must be able to tell you what you don't feel like doing. Stop doing the things you feel like doing. It's satanic inspiration. Sometimes you do things because you were told. And that is how you will prosper. And you'll be in good health. If Jesus does not come before next week, which I pray doesn't yet, still have things to do. But if he comes, it's also okay. But I doubt if he will come because the church is not yet perfect. We will look at 3 John. And we'll look at one thing. So let me use my right time rightly so that they can invite me again. You understand? God bless you. Thank you so much.